breaking news today on Jay Sekulow Live. The American Center for Law and Justice has just launched a brand new school choice initiative. We'll talk about it today and how you can get involved on the broadcast.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow, and on this Monday, we want to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We are very excited to announce a new ACLJ initiative, a new ACLJ program. It's one we've worked on for years, decades at the ACLJ, which is school choice cases at the Supreme Court and in the courts. In fact, I'm holding a brief right now that we filed at a case that is pending before the U.S. Supreme Court right now on school choice. It's the Espinoza case. We should get a decision on that very soon from the Supreme Court. We filed in this case. So again, it's not something we are just brand new to. But in light of the recent events of the last few weeks and the need for police reform and Senator Scott's Justice Act that we've been supporting, we wanted to look at kind of this whole approach of what the ACLJ could do. You know, we could take the grassroots action on police reform, tell you what senators to call. We'll get you an update on that as well today on the broadcast. But we wanted to look at what the ACLJ could do as an initiative to really assist what we believe is most important and what people like Senator Scott also believe is so important. As he said to the Wall Street Journal on Saturday, Senator Scott said, "In our society, we spend so much time on the root causes and the disadvantages that we forget to talk about the solutions and the advantage that we have over the rest of the world. Advancement, he believes, comes through education. It is absolutely essential that we have quality education in every zip code, especially the poorest zip codes in America. That is the path forward." So you don't just immediately address like the police reform problem, though you certainly address that, but you have to look at the bigger issues as well. Let me go to Than Bennett in Washington, D.C., because Than, this is an initiative from the ACLJ we're all very excited about because it's about these justice and equality issues that have been so debated and discussed that people have gotten excited about over and having these conversations over the past few weeks. But we wanted to say, hey, what could we do substantively at the ACLJ? And this is something we could do substantively.
Absolutely, Jordan. And, you know, one of the things you're going to hear from parents the most frequently, I know you can relate to this, I can relate to this, is a parent wants to provide a better opportunity for their child than maybe they had. And, Jordan, the opportunity to get an education that is better than they had would be at the top of that list. For so long, that just has not been the case for parents of children residing in low-income districts. And, look, we understand that many of these decisions are made on a local and state level, and probably appropriately so. But, Jordan, when you have a situation where the poor among us cannot afford or do not have the opportunity to get the education as those who living in zip codes that are more affluent, that has got to change. There are ways the federal government can support it. Yes, most of those decisions will still reside on the state and local level, but Senator Scott is 100% correct. It should not matter which zip code a child is born in the United States of America. The parent should still have the opportunity to make sure that that child gets the education they deserve. Jordan, there are a lot of ways that we can accomplish that goal.
Folks, I want you to share this broadcast with your friends and family. So if you're watching on Facebook and Periscope right now, click that share button right now, especially Facebook. Click the share button now. Bring more people into this conversation. It's a brand new initiative. And there's a way you can take action right now. A brand new petition up at ACLJ.org, along with a new blog about advancing justice by expanding school choice. And we'll talk about it when we come back from the break. But in the new petition, it's about underperforming public schools, especially in disadvantaged communities, are crushing kids' futures. At the ACLJ, we've launched our school choice initiative to ensure that every state in the country allows parents to choose the school they believe will provide their kids the best education, whether it's private, religious, charter, homeschool, or public school, regardless of their economic standing. And we're also going to be drafting model state legislation to ensure that every child has equality of opportunity in education. You can sign this brand new petition up at ACLJ.org right now. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. If you're just joining us, let me just say we are very excited to announce the brand new School Choice Initiative from the American Center for Law and Justice. You can find out information about it up at aclj.org. We'll also be talking about it on today's broadcast with both Harry Hutchinson, of course, Dan Bennett's here, Ed White, one of our senior attorneys as well. The initial blog announcing this was just posted this morning on aclj.org. by Harry Hutchinson. It's called Advancing Justice by Expanding School Choice. Harry is joining us now. You know, Harry, he is frequently on the broadcast, also kind of oversees our law and policy team as a senior attorney, former law professor as well. Harry, great to have you on the broadcast today.
Well, thanks, Jordan. It's my pleasure to be with you. And I would say, first off, that it is high time to make public school leaders and heads of teachers' unions uncomfortable by unleashing real justice in the form of school choice. While the world has become convulsed by focusing on removing monuments, let's build a monumental movement that delivers accountability, improved educational performance, improved safety for first and second graders through school choice. As I've said before, it is time for affirmative action for public school children rather than focusing on whether, for instance, Yale University, named after a famed slave trader, changes its name to something more politically correct. It is time to move beyond symbols and symbolic reform to advance school choice. And if not now, when? If not us, who?
Harry, you wrote the blog, and this is a great blog for people to go through so they can get educated about what we're talking about doing. And it goes back all the way to even, you know, cases. The Supreme Court, by the way, has cleared the way for this. And Zelman versus Simon Harris, it was out of Cleveland. And that case, again, it was about an initiative that Cleveland had and these scholarships provided by the city, 96% of which were used for children to attend religious schools. And the court found, they did this full review, Harry, of Cleveland's public school system, said it was among the worst performing schools in the nation, failed to meet any of the 18 state standards for minimal acceptable performance, and more than two-thirds of high school students either dropped or failed out before graduation. So it was Chief Justice Rehnquist at the time and the Supreme Court that held that this was a constitutional program. So at the federal level, at the Supreme Court level, there has been a kind of clearing the way, Harry, for states to adopt aggressive school choice policies.
I think you're absolutely correct, but it's also very, very important to keep in mind that progressive leaders, including leaders of teachers' unions, are aggressively pushing back in state after state, despite the success story of school choice throughout the United States. Today, there are 65 private school choice options operating in 29 states, including Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico. More than 482,000 students across the country are exercising private school choice, more than double the number of programs and students since the National School Choice Week initiative was first launched in 2011. So we've made some progress, but there are still many barriers, including progressive governors, progressive boards of education, and progressive leaders within teachers' unions who continually claim to support improving or reducing, I should say, racial disadvantage and disparity, but at the same time, they oppose school choice for other people's kids. Meanwhile, many of them send their kids to private schools. So we have to keep our foot on the accelerator with respect to this initiative, because it is clear beyond question that we will face headwinds, primarily coming from progressives. And keep in mind, it was progressives that gave us a Planned Parenthood. It was progressives that gave us a lot of other initiatives, including labor policy, that provided a basis for disadvantaging minority and low-income individuals throughout the United States.
Folks, we're going to take your calls, your questions about this new initiative. If you have questions about school choice, because there's a lot of options. States do different things, whether it's voucher programs and charter schools and savings accounts and tax credits. I mean, the list really goes on. There's magnet schools. There's open enrollment, deductions that are available. What we're also going to be doing, Harry, which I think is important, because the goal of this, of our initiative, is to use this as a vehicle to attain justice for all of America's children, including the least among us. With the debates that have been raging across the country over the past few weeks, and the police reform, which we support through Senator Scott, and that reform, the Justice Act, which I'll get an update from Than Bennett on later in the broadcast, because we've asked you to contact, remember folks, 13 Democrats to get that over the edge for a vote. But even, Harry, Senator Scott said, you know, the key is really education, getting the poorest kids access to the best education, and middle-class kids as well, whose parents may not normally be able to afford a private school, whether it's a private school, religious private school, or a charter school, or just a different public school. And so we're going to take your phone calls on this, 1-800-684-3110. But, Harry, the goal here is to really put forward information that states can use, whether it's draft legislation to start these programs, and also begin pointing out the barriers that have been put in place, as you noted, by the left in some states, which have completely tried to do away with school choice entirely, like the state of Michigan. But Harry, really the goal here is justice for all of America's children. And we believe this is the right time. We've been engaged in this issue for decades at the ACLJ, but this is the right time to start a grassroots legal movement around it.
Absolutely. So many people rightly ask the following question. Is the stunning malfeasance of public schools in many cities, whether or not that constitutes a deliberate, intentional, and premeditated effort to sabotage the lives of poor and minority kids? In my view, after more than 70 years of educational malpractice by progressive leaders, we must answer this particular question with the following response. Res ipsa loquitur. That is, the thing speaks for itself. So if you look back the history of the United States, from around 1950 to 1960 on, public school education, particularly in minority communities, has declined at an exponential rate. And it is why we are now pushing school choice, because we need to put pressure on public schools by providing competition, by making public school leaders more accountable to the individuals who live in every single zip code in America. And so I think that's why it's really important for our listeners to engage with us as we launch the ACLJ School Choice Initiative.
In the second half hour, we're going to be talking to Ed White about some of these barriers. One of them is the Blaine Amendments. This was a move to try and get constitutional amendment at the U.S. Constitution. It failed, but about 30-plus states have versions of it, and cities do too, and it prohibits direct government aid to educational institutions with religious affiliation. So this is one of the barriers to having the full planopy, if you will, of school choice available to these parents if a state is to enact, as we like a voucher program, so that they really do have the choice to send their students to the school they want to send them to. But Harry, the truth is, as you pointed out, it's less than the majority of states in the country don't really have these programs.
Absolutely. And these programs are not available to a majority of students, even in states that have these programs. So it's very, very imperative to expand access to these choice programs. And so if you actually look back at history, public schools used to be accountable to the communities they serve. So if you look back at the public school system in Washington, D.C., in 1899, there were four academic public high schools, one black and three white. In standardized test scores given in 1899, students in the black high schools averaged higher test scores than students in two of the three white schools. This pattern prevailed until 1955. But things have changed, and that's why we need school choice now.
Okay, folks, to get involved in the issue, this is what I encourage you to do right now. One, if you're watching on Facebook, share this broadcast with your friends and family. Get more people involved in this discussion so they know about the ACLJ launching today this new school choice initiative. Two, sign the petition up at ACLJ.org demanding school choice, giving every child equality of opportunity and justice. That's at ACLJ.org. And three, check out Harry's new blog, kind of explaining our school choice initiative and what we plan to do, advancing justice by expanding school choice, all up at ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. So the ACLJ launching our brand new school choice initiative. It's up at aclj.org. And we're talking to Harry Hutchinson right now. Than Bennett, of course, on the broadcast with us. Ed White will be joining us in the second half hour of the broadcast. Harry, I want to play Speaker Nancy Pelosi because I think this is important for everybody listening right now to share this information with your friends and family about this school choice initiative. Share the blog that Harry wrote at aclj.org. Share this broadcast right now. If you're watching on Facebook, click the share button. Because if you have friends and family, coworkers who have been interested in this kind of new discussion on equality in America and police reform and justice and equality and the debate that's happening, this is key to it. And even Nancy Pelosi has admitted how bad many of these schools are and how rough they are. Take a listen. This is Nancy Pelosi this year in a press conference, bite number 5.
So we talk to those children and we say education is important. We send them a mixed message when we send a message that education is important, and then we send them to a school that is dilapidated, that is not wired for the future. If this is so important, why aren't you respecting me, a student, by having facilities that are worthy of it?
Now, I want to go right to Harry Hutchinson because, Harry, what I'm sure Nancy Pelosi would not agree with our positions on this because she would want just more money to prop up these public schools. But as you point out in your new blog on this, Advancing Justice by Expanding School Choice, over the past 50 years, funding increases have culminated in the U.S. leading the world in per capita education expenditures. And yet Nancy Pelosi still talks about the dilapidated public schools in America.
Absolutely. So one of the clear things to keep in mind is that when we talk about increasing funding for public education in America, generally that means increasing funding for administrative staff and administrators rather than delivering funding and increased performance in the classroom. All Americans have a stake in improving education in the United States, and to be clear, this festering wound caused by underperforming schools endures despite, as you point out, Jordan, significant funding increases for public education throughout the nation. But it's important to keep in mind that notwithstanding the fact that per capita expenditures on education in the United States exceed every single country in the world, our performance lags in part because there's a negative correlation between increasing public school funding and actual performance because we are not focused on students. So little has changed in the neighborhoods at the center of the disruptions that have characterized most major urban areas over the last several months. But keep in mind, this represents the abysmal record under largely progressive educational leadership, but something needs to change, and it needs to change now so that we can improve student safety, improve parental satisfaction and involvement, and see improvements in graduation rates, make public schools more accountable through competition, and save taxpayers' dollars at the end of the day.
Folks, again, if you have questions about this, comments about this, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Eileen calling in from New Jersey on line 3. Eileen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
I'm a public school teacher, and I think that absent the discussion very often is the erosion of the family. Yep. And, you know, we talk about education as in the shape of a triangle, and you need all three parts for it to work. You need the parents, the student, the teacher to be on the same page and working in conjunction with one another. But it is the erosion of the family. I mean, after this virtual stuff that I've just been through, it's amazing. I ended up working one-on-one with several of the students because they didn't have the support at home to do it. I was on the computer for hours. And right now, it just was on my heart to do it. I'm tutoring a student free of charge. I'm having a book club with other students during the summer months. So I think it is the erosion of the family and the lack of parental support, a disdain for authority, a turning away from faith and mass, all of this. So when you talk about failing schools, please don't just say that it's the teachers and the administrators. Please. Yeah.
No, and I think when we say teachers, I think specific, Harry and Eileen, I really appreciate your call and your insight. I think, one, you're an example of one of those great teachers out there who is, and I'm not saying there's not a lot of great public school teachers who are trying their best, doing everything they can possible with this difficult time, like trying to do the online classes with students who didn't even have the technological resources to do it, and then don't have the parental support. But Harry, really what's important to this is that when we talk about teachers, we're talking about teachers' unions trying to prevent this specifically.
Absolutely. So I think the caller is precisely correct in her analysis, and that family, for instance, is an important factor in education. And certainly that was true in terms of my history and my success with respect to education. But it's also important to keep in mind that school choice tends to increase parental satisfaction and involvement.
Yep.
Most parents who exercise school choice report that they are highly satisfied with their child's chosen school. For instance, in Arizona, more than 70% of respondents with children who used the state's educational savings account option were very satisfied. The same thing is generally true for parents in the DC Opportunity Scholarship program. The parents reported being more satisfied and more involved with their children's education. So I think the caller is certainly onto something that Daniel Patrick Moynihan pointed out in 1965, but it's also important again to lay blame at progressive leaders for at least part of the problem associated with the disintegration of the American family. This has been part and parcel, I think, of a deliberate program initiated by progressive leaders going back to the 1960s that has seen the disintegration of the family. So the disintegration of the family, the disintegration of performance with respect to public schools in America are definitely linked. But right now, we can do something at least about improving educational performance through school choice. That's the initiative we're focused on now. We certainly do not want to do anything that furthers the disintegration of the family.
And then, I mean, you point out, too, that the idea that when you take away any choice from parents, that basically your kids are, you know, for most parents out there who can't afford private schools, the only option is public schools, they're also much more disinterested. They think that the school then should just handle all of it, handle everything.
Yeah, I love Eileen's call, Jordan, because, look, for so long the government has told parents you have no role in your students, your child's education. And so parents have taken the message by stepping back. Eileen is absolutely correct that parents need to step back forward. But, Jordan, public policy has a role in that. Public policy needs to return some of that authority to the parents so that they actually have a choice to make when they decide to engage for their child's education.
1-800-684-3110, second half hour coming up. And I want to hear from more families. I know we've got one on the line now, but for more families who have been able to utilize school choice programs to their benefit of their children and even of their family. So give us a call if you've been able to utilize school choice programs, 1-800-684-3110. Sign that petition online, aclj.org.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Folks, we are talking about the ACLJ's new school choice initiative. You know, we've been involved with school choice voucher programs and these discussions about should religious schools be able to receive the funding, should parents be able to choose those schools. We actually filed a case that's at the Supreme Court right now. I'm holding the brief in my hand right now on the broadcast called Espinoza versus Montana Department of Revenue. It's now up on the screen for those of you watching on Facebook and Periscope. We're awaiting the Supreme Court decision here. It's, again, another one of those cases about tax credits for school choice programs. Can they be used for religious schools? So that's up at the Supreme Court, literally just awaiting the opinion right now. We're going to get right back to our school choice issue, but I do want to update you because it all goes together. This is about equality and justice for America's students and young people and children and their families as well. But there's also the Justice Act, which we've been asking you to take a grassroots action on, Tim Scott's legislation on police reform. And I wanted Than to give us an update on where the Senate is right now on getting those Democrats that are necessary to get through that motion to allow debate on the legislation. So, Than, let's update people on the Justice Act.
Yeah, Jordan, last week we told folks that Leader McConnell continued conversations with Democrats to try to get unanimous consent to just begin debate on the Justice Act, which actually has a lot of overlap with the bill that Speaker Pelosi put forward in the House, which, by the way, Jordan, I think that's why Speaker Pelosi wants to get to a conference committee, which means the Senate actually has to pass a bill because there is overlap between those two bills. There is still no deal between Leader McConnell and Democrats. So if they can't arrive on a deal, Jordan, here's what's going to happen. It is expected that on Wednesday, Leader McConnell would call for the vote. The vote would actually be on something called cloture on the motion to proceed. I'm going to distill that down into layman's terms. Essentially, that means, are senators willing to begin the debate on this legislation? Not cast a final vote, even begin the debate. But Jordan, as you pointed out many times last week, the 53 Republicans need 7 Democrats if they are going to begin that debate. So that would be what the vote would be about on Wednesday. Jordan, at this point, it does not look like Leader McConnell has the votes at this point, so people need to continue calling. We've compiled 13 Senate Democrats that are most likely to vote for that motion to proceed to begin that debate, and there are two outcomes. Maybe that could force a deal between Leader Schumer and Leader McConnell, and they could begin this debate and see where we end up. Or, Jordan, we might have to take this vote, and we might need 7 Democrats to stand up and say, this is the moment where the United States Senate is going to do the job and actually debate these issues. And once we debate them, Jordan, we'll see where the final legislative product ends, and we'll see if it has 50 votes to pass.
That's right. So we've got that list up that Than and our government affairs team put together for you to call at ACLJ.org. It's 13 Democrat senators. 7 are needed to get this through on this initial vote, which looks like it'll be Wednesday now, so you still have time to call those offices. We've got all the information up at ACLJ.org, including the direct number to the Senate offices, so you won't just be calling the switchboard. So we encourage you to take grassroots action there at ACLJ.org. And by the way, almost 67,000 people, Than, have signed that petition on the Justice Act. So people have gotten involved and gotten engaged. Encourage people. That petition is still up too at ACLJ.org to take that action as well. We're going to take your calls. We start taking your calls. We come back from the next break because we just don't have time. So Janine is up. I know Limna's ready. We'll take more of your calls too. At 2 lines open right now if you want to talk to us on the air. If you've got questions about school choice, if you have had experience with school choice, maybe you're a teacher in a school where you've had a lot of students who have utilized school choice programs to attend, or you're a family that's utilized a school choice program in your state, or you're a family that wishes you did have it in your state, but you don't. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We encourage all of you listening to sign our brand new petition up at ACLJ.org demanding school choice and giving every child equal opportunity and justice. We need you to join us in this fight. And this is something we're going to work on substantively, legally, policy, draft legislation that we'll post on ACLJ.org, draft statutes. We're doing it all, but we want you to stand with us. Sign that petition now. Demand school choice for all of America's kids. ACLJ.org. Sign the petition now. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
So we've heard this broadcast from Nancy Pelosi about what message it sends to tell children and our America's children how important education it is, and then send them to crumbling schools, schools without heating, schools where the wires are exposed, schools that don't have the right technology, just crumbling schools. And then it sends a mixed message. Why it's education so important, and yet you're sending me to these schools. Now, those same kind of leaders like Nancy Pelosi then oppose opening up programs so that those students could, parents could have the opportunity to choose different schools for their children. And it might be a different public school. It might be a charter school. It might be a religious private school. It might be a secular private school. There's so many different options available, but there is a significant effort to oppose these. It's why the majority of states in the United States still do not have school choice programs. And if you don't think this is going to be a key issue leading into this upcoming election, well, take a listen from President Trump on Saturday in Tulsa, Oklahoma, bite number one.
In major city public schools run by Democrats, over two-thirds of students are falling behind in reading and math, and I think the numbers are worse than that. But Democrats would rather deny these children the future they deserve than allow them to attend the charter, public, private, religious, or independent schools of their choice. Pro-choice. Pro-choice.
Yeah, different kind of pro-choice. Let me first go to the phones, then we'll go to Ed White, who's joining us, a senior counsel with the ACLJ, also working on this initiative. Janine, calling in from Arizona on line one. Janine, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Jordan. And by the way, we donate to the ACLJ. Thank you so much for your work.
Thank you.
We have a son who's now an adult, and when we were going to our local public school, our son is on the autism spectrum. He's very high functioning.
Yep.
The public school looked at his grades and said, we'll put him in the gifted program. Then we talked about behavior issues he was having at the time. Oh, well, we'll put him in special ed. And I said, well, which is it? That's crazy. You want him in the gifted program, but then you want him in special ed. And the administrator finally said, your son is the sort of person who would probably fall between the cracks. We sent him to a charter school, and they focused on his ability. He ended up doing so well in school, he got a full scholarship to get an accounting degree in college. He did great because the school was smaller, They communicated frequently with the parents, and we actually sent our other son, who doesn't have special needs, to the same school, and he did great, too.
Well, that's an excellent story, Janine. That's why I asked people to call in who have had this experience, because now I'm going to go to Ed White. Ed, this is why the ACLJ is launching this initiative, because of Janine's story and her son, and both of her children, both of her sons, but her son who, again, a public school was going to push him along a different way. The parents recognized there were going to be issues with that, and so they utilized school choice and saw this excellent outcome. And that's why we believe it should be available to every American student, regardless of what zip code they live in.
Correct. And because ultimately it's the parent who should control the education of his or her child, not the state. And by giving parents, especially underprivileged parents, the opportunity to give their child the best education possible, that is a goal that every American should strive for.
You know, Ed, I want to talk to you about some of the barriers. We talked about this as we were launching this initiative and preparing it at the American Center for Law and Justice. And one of the barriers to some of these school choice programs is something called the Blaine Amendments. Now, we deal with this regularly at the ACLJ, and people may kind of have heard about this before, but explain to people what that is, what that does, because it affects 30-plus states and also a number of cities and municipalities as well.
Correct. So it's 37 states that have some form of a Blaine Amendment in their constitution. So Blaine, he was a congressman and then also a senator from Maine back in the 1870s. And after the Civil War, there were a lot of immigrants coming here, primarily Catholic immigrants, Irish immigrants. And he wanted to have a federal amendment to our Constitution that no money or property could go towards religious schools. And the idea there was Protestants were controlling the public schools, and he did not want Catholics to have any influence over students. And so these amendments passed at the state levels. They did not pass nationally. So over the course of time, you've had these amendments, and they block voucher programs. So in my state of Michigan, we have the most restrictive Blaine Amendment, where money cannot directly or indirectly go towards any religious school. So we do not have voucher programs. We can't. However, to get around that, the state of Michigan, as other states have, started charter school programs in the public school as a way to give a quality public school education to students. And those are educations where there's discipline. So the most famous one is the Cornerstone schools in Detroit. If a person walked into those schools, you would think you were in a Catholic school. Everyone wears uniforms, there's discipline, the kids lead to read, write, etc., and they go off to have good jobs, go off to college. Or homeschooling became very big in the state of Michigan, where it is very organized. There are sports leagues for homeschool kids, and because they do not want to go to the public school, because you're not going to get an education. So earlier you had the quote from Nancy Pelosi, and money is not the answer. If you just look at the public schools in the city of Detroit, per student, the state of Michigan pays roughly $15,000 per student to go to the public schools, which I'm pretty sure is more than going to the University of Michigan, which is arguably one of the best schools in the world. And there in Detroit, they have like the lowest reading level among any city in the country.
Yeah, I mean,
so that is not the answer.
Well, we have a call about this, Ed, actually, and it's Sue. I think we can help her walk through this. Sue called in from Oklahoma on line 4. Sue, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thanks for all you do. I have an educator that is probably one of the best, greatest heart. And I think the separation sometimes between educators being conservative and Democrat is because of this issue. How do you justify, or how do you explain that if everyone's given vouchers and lots of parents pull out of the inner city schools, then how does that not ravage the inner city schools? And because in our city, for example, kids don't have transportation options. And so there again, you're setting up only those who can help themselves to get transportation to other schools. And we have that even with some charter schools that are available. They're really available supposedly to those schools, or to the students to choose, but they have no choice because they have no way to get there. And that's the one argument that I find hard to explain to an educator who wants to see every child succeed, but feels like we will further ravage that happening if all of a sudden, you know, the monies go to other schools.
Well, and I think the one way, and Sue, and I appreciate that, it's always an argument you see in opposition. I think one is, as Ed was talking about, you know, you look at city-specific examples like Detroit and specific charter schools that were set up so that those students could attend, so that it was easy to attend. But it's why we're supporting the expansion of school choice. And we believe that these public schools, Ed, get plenty of money. They spend plenty of resources. They don't need any more money. They need to up their game to compete with the other schools. This should be a level playing field. We pay for it with our taxpayer dollars. And if they can't compete and a charter school can come in or a private school can come in with vouchers and students have access to it in those communities, and it makes it tougher on the public school, then so be it if the public school won't up its game and help. Because there's no excuse for a public school that's already failing to keep failing and say, oh, let's just let them keep failing, Ed, because if we allow voucher programs, they'll just be worse. That means they shouldn't be running it in the first place.
Correct. And so the purpose behind the school choice is it's an American value, I think, of competition. And public schools would have to step up their game to start educating students. If a charter school can do it, if a private school can do it, a public school should be able to do it. And public schools have not always been bad. My parents grew up in the beginning part of the last century and went through public schools in New York City and got very good education. When my father graduated high school, he was able to read and write Latin from a New York City public school education.
No, I mean, my dad went through public schools in New York and Chicago, Atlanta. My mom did as well. She was a public school teacher. And again, it was a different time. But, you know, as Harry points out in the blog and for our caller, and this is up at ACLJ.org, great society programs have been in place for 55 years. But after trillions of dollars in aid, including federal aid to public schools, little has changed in the neighborhoods at the center of the disruptions that characterized most major urban areas. So, Ed, we believe that this initiative, which we're just now launching at the ACLJ, it's a way to get justice, inequality, and as you said, real competition. But the goal is for equality of education for all of America's kids.
Correct.
Folks, we encourage you, go to ACLJ.org. We've got a great team. As you heard from Harry Hutchinson, they admitted on the policy side. We're taking your phone calls. We come back, 1-800-684-3110. Sign the petition. Join this fight for education and for school choice. ACLJ.org. Sign the petition today. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Listen to President Trump. Again, this is in Oklahoma. If you think this issue is not something that's going to be a focus of the 2020 election, and also of this bigger civil rights, kind of 2020 civil rights debate and discussion, is probably a better word that's going on right now, of how to get to more equality, how to get more justice in our country when it comes especially to African Americans and other minorities. Especially when it comes to underserved and underprivileged communities. Take a listen to bite number two from President Trump.
Pro-choice for schools. It's very popular, but some people it's like a disaster because what it does to certain unions that have a lot of power over the Democrats, even though they know it's wrong. Republicans believe access to education is a civil right. It's a civil right.
You know, and then go back to, this is Tim Scott in 2014. Now, Senator Scott is also the sponsor, the author of the Justice Act for Police Reform that we've been talking about. Listen to him back in 2014 on how important education is, Bite 9.
I'm very interested in creating a foundation of education for those folks in the middle income arena, as well as kids living in poverty, kids like myself who perhaps live in the wrong zip code, going to underperforming schools. I'd love to give parents the tool of choice. When parents have choice in education, I think their kids have a better chance of success. Had it not been for education, I would not be sitting here today. I think of education as the gateway to the American dream. I want to open that gate wider for kids living in poverty.
It is interesting, those Blaine amendments that we were talking about with Ed White, which bar any of these resources from going to state resources, didn't pass the federal level, but state resources in 37 states to going to religious schools, where his entire purpose was to prevent them from going to any Catholic schools directly or indirectly. I mean, how again, it was focused because of Irish immigrants, also racist history to the Blaine amendment. Discriminatory history to the Blaine Amendment. The same folks calling for police reform should also be pointing these kind of issues out that we have on our laws still in place for so many years that were discriminatory when they began. They were discriminatory and in a sense also racist because of the group that they were targeting at the time, who is immigrating to the United States. I want to start taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Limna calling in from New York on line 3. Limna, thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you so much for this initiative. I am a veteran teacher in New York City, and this is an answer to prayer. Earlier, you were talking about how the unions oppose school choice. I can tell you, as a public school teacher in New York City, that is absolutely true. What we constantly hear from the union is that if there is more school choice and parents have the options to send their kids to more charter schools, we will end up teaching the bottom of the barrel kids.
Yeah, however, I mean, so you know, do you think, though, why would those parents whose kids are struggling the most not also decide to send their kids to schools that were more helpful, maybe with kids who had learning disabilities or needed more attention?
Well, it goes back to even the point of the caller who called from Arizona, where her child was told, well, because of their needs, they should be put in special ed. And in the public school system in New York City, what we find is that we do get kids back from the charter schools. It's a trend that kind of happens. Yeah. If they are unable to per se meet their special needs, and maybe the public school system has a program that is more in tune with their needs. However, the biggest problem in general is this overpopulation. The class size is overwhelming, and if parents had more of that school choice, that would actually reduce class size in our needy public schools, and perhaps we could hone in and focus more on the needs of the population that we serve.
Right there is that, you know, you're, as a public school teacher, you're saying, listen, that if we had more school choice, we'd be able to focus more on the kids who we might have the unique specialized programs for, that maybe the charter schools or the more, you know, these schools for like advanced placement schools, those kind of things are not best for, but we need to be able to work. And so it would actually give you, and Thad, this is important, public schools would have greater flexibility to tailor their classes to the students most in need of the of this, because they have so many resources at those public schools. But when they are overrun with students, those resources go very quickly, and so they can't tailor the programs to those who need it the most.
I actually think the point the caller's making, Jordan, is one of the strongest reasons to advocate for school choice. Look, there's a huge pot of money that already comes out of the federal government for these purposes, about $68 billion. And Jordan, by the way, $23 billion comes out of Title I, which is supposed to help these specific low-income schools. But they're so layered down by mandates, they don't end up giving the flexibility that the caller's talking about. It's why one of the things that we're looking at supporting, Jordan, is a piece of legislation called the A-Plus Act, sponsored by Senator Daines and Congressman Walker, which would basically take that $23 billion and allow states to retailer it to the kind of flexibility that the caller is talking about. You do need to maybe reduce class size. You need to do need to think about other ways to service those communities and creating a marketplace for new schools. Jordan, how much freedom could that $23 billion, if you allowed a state to get out of the mandates and say, this is our strategy, we're going to apply it to that, it would go a long way.
You know, let's go to Jeff's call in Florida on line six. Jeff, welcome to Jay Secchio Live. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. One of the points I wanted to make was that while we're trying to achieve this, we have to be very careful about taking federal funding, because I don't think that allowing the government to have any access into the schools will be a benefit. I think that's what the problem is now.
So you support like the more of the voucher program, so you're giving the money back that's already paid in by taxes, so that you get this on the, which we, by the way, tend to believe that is the best option, Than, is that a voucher program where you the parents get money on the front end to utilize. Because some of these tax credit programs and others, I mean, you know, that's not so much helping people who are low income and paying very little in taxes. But a program that on the front end gives you these resources to use on education to choose. And by the way, for those public school teachers out there who are listening to this broadcast right now, you could choose a public school in this. It could be a better public school or one that has a program that would be better for your child. But then that's what we support as well. We believe that the voucher program is the best, that you should also have these other programs as well available.
Yeah, I think it's all of the above, Jordan. I mean, the voucher program is the best because, going back to Janine's call, it gives the ultimate decision-making authority to the parent, the person who knows that child best. So we think the dollars should follow the child, not the education system, and ultimately that would be the best result. But look, Jordan, this is going to take a lot of different forms in a lot of different states, but if the parent is the one that has the authority, I go back to what you said a minute ago, they might make the choice to go to a school that does not take any federal dollars, or, Jordan, they might look around and say, this particular school, they are taking federal dollars, but they're doing it in a way that provides my child with the best opportunity to succeed. So that's the choice I'm going to make. I would submit to the caller, and I think he probably agrees with this, the parent should be the one making that decision, no matter which decision that parent makes.
Folks, we encourage you right now to sign our brand new petition. Join us in this battle. Join us in this fight to get every child equality of opportunity and justice. The ACLJ, we have launched today our school choice initiative. We're going to be drafting model state legislation to ensure that every child has equality of opportunity to education, including school vouchers. We're going to be filing briefs to the Supreme Court. We already have, holding that in my hand now. We're going to work at the federal level, the state level. Opportunity shouldn't be dictated by what zip code you live in. Sign the petition now to demand school choice, justice, and equality of opportunity for every American child.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.